This is the Apex United Methodist Church podcast.
Living right side up in an upside down world. I said that the opposite way last evening at church. I don't think they noticed. What it means, this sermon series title is telling us that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are different. One of the professors at Duke Divinity School where I went said Christians are odd. Some people took offense to that. I rather liked it. I've always liked to be odd. But what it means for us is that oftentimes the way of the world seems to be going, the thoughts the world may be having, that Christians can put a different slant on it. A slant that is, well, it brings new life where hope rises up when there doesn't seem to be much hope. Jesus, in all of his teachings, really lived that new way. He said himself he came to turn things upside down. He didn't come to do status quo things, to surprise. God's grace is surprising and amazing, isn't it? I think there's a song about that, Amazing Grace. In Matthew's gospel, there is together a group of teachings where Jesus has those who are following him gathered around him, and he begins to talk about what it means to be different in the world and the life that brings. Hear the word of the Lord to us this day as it is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Hear now the word. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last evening, after Saturday evening worship, one of our friends there told me that he had a co-worker who was a wonderful worrier. Do you know a worrier? You've heard me say before, my mom has Olympic gold medals in that. But he said this gentleman with whom he works is such a worrier that his wife cross-stitched a plaque for his office. And the plaque says this: worry absolutely works, because 99.9% of everything I worry about never happens. The laughter was not so big on that, because we saw ourselves in that, didn't we? Do not worry. Yet how many things happened this morning in the practice? A comedy of errors. And it would have been really good for us to worry, except they were singing all these words of faith and hope. It's easy to cross that line and worry, isn't it? I do it. I try not to. But it happens. And Jesus is very clear about telling the people gathered around him not to worry. Do not worry. how does one do that? First of all, I will say, I use this phrase many times, I am learning. Because you see, a disciple is a learner. That means we should all be using that. I am learning this about God. I am learning this about myself. I am learning that there are some particular things about worry. First of all, and this is a biggie, has been a biggie for me. Worrying is a choice. Worrying is a choice. No one, not even your mother, can make you worry. It is a choice. So that recognition leads us to the thing, therefore, we can choose not to worry, right? Say that. We can choose not to worry.
We can choose not to worry.
Isn't that easy to say? And really hard to do. What I do in my life is remind myself, it is a choice. I can choose to worry or not. What I find when I do choose to worry, the only thing it accomplishes is to ruin the present moment. It never changes the situation. Unless you want to think of that plaque, 99% of the time it doesn't happen. And then we've just wasted our time worrying about something that didn't even happen. What could we be doing in those moments of life, being present to another, being present to God, instead of worrying? One of the things I notice about this text, Jesus says in it, "O ye of little faith." He doesn't say, "You people who have no faith at all." He's telling us we have faith. So he says, let me bolster that faith. Let me lift it up for you. Let me encourage your faith. Help it grow. Don't worry. Don't worry, he says. The great theologian and churchman, Martin Luther, was one who struggled with worrying. If you've read any of his work, it is wondrous. His faith is deep in God. He is the one who tacked the 95 theses on the door that began such the Reformation and all the changes in the church. Yet he struggled with depression. He struggled with worries. And he has written more times than I can count in his writings. Whenever he encountered a time of worry, a time of concern, he would go and he would look in the mirror at himself and he would say, "Martin, settle down. You are baptized." What in the world does being baptized have to do with not worrying? To be baptized, first of all, we did that to wonderful Mackenzie. You notice how I mentioned the ways in Scripture, a few ways of how God saves God's people with water. We can live about 3 days without water, but no more. Water is nourishment. It is life for us. Water washes us, makes us clean. And the waters of baptism, when we are baptized, it washes away the guilt of original sin. Would that meant we would never sin again. But what it means is that now we have a choice. We can choose not to sin again, and that choice can be bolstered by the presence of Jesus Christ within our very lives. Because from the moment of baptism, Christ enters our heart. Water is a sign of death, isn't it? In baptism, we die to sin and are reborn new people who can choose not to worry, who can choose not to sin. And when we fail in that choice and don't make the correct one, there is the forgiveness and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that washes over us like the waters of baptism. So I can see how Martin Luther would have said, "Straighten up, settle down, Martin. You're baptized." perhaps that would be something for us to do. Remind ourselves that we are baptized when the worrying comes on. Jesus desires that we live lives that are full, that are rich, that are vibrant, but nowhere in this, where's my Bible? There, that book, do I see that that means we live in some protected bubble where nothing bad would ever happen to us. It doesn't say that, because we live right side up in an upside down world, and the kingdom of God has not fully come yet. It will come again when Christ returns. And then all will be made new, will be redeemed, made whole. But until he comes again, we, the baptized people, become the light for others to remember that there is hope. For that new world, there is redemption of sin. There is reconciliation when there is brokenness. There is help for a broken heart, a broken life. That's what it means to be baptized. We are the bearers of the hope of God. And how we go through the difficulties of life, believe me, other people are watching. People who do not yet believe are watching how you and I go through the difficulties of life. And it does not mean as Christians that because we're baptized, because we're not supposed to worry, that we flippantly live in this little happy place like I always use Mary Poppins, you know, just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Everything is fine. That is not realistic. People who are baptized grieve. People who are baptized are concerned about the world. People who are baptized stand up for justice. People who are baptized have difficult times. They lose their jobs. Their children don't always make the best decisions. But people who are baptized know that what happens in the present moment is not all there is. And that Jesus Christ overcame everything. And as Romans 8 reminds us, God has the last word. I'll tell you something. I've read the end of the book. God wins. I hope I didn't spoil it for you. God wins. And because God wins, we do too. Together, we support one another in our grief. Together, we walk the road with one another in the difficulties of life, and we keep our head pointed up high, remembering that we are baptized. We belong to the Lord. The foundation of grace that is laid in our baptism is the one upon which we build for the rest of our life. And the beauty, one of the beauties of being in a church family is that when we forget in the difficulties, in the dark places of life, we can remind one another as we reach out our hand to lift up a brother or sister, as we pray over and with someone, as we hold the light of joy for one who can't yet see it. Baptized people. Today, in the church, it has been the tradition on this Sunday to celebrate the baptism of Jesus Christ. Brian, if you would help. And we're going to take these waters of baptism, and I trust your arms more than mine if we'll walk it here. The waters in which we baptized Mackenzie, and pour them into this bowl here. And as we remember the baptism of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we're invited to come to this bowl to touch the water. Thank you, Brian. Perhaps to draw again that cross on our forehead, reminding us that we are forever marked for Jesus. Touch the water. Touch your forehead. Put your hands on your heart. Remember your baptism and be thankful. If you are not yet baptized, come touch the water and then see me so we can talk, so that you can stand in before the mirror and say, Jenny or Jane or John, settle down. You're baptized. Will you come as you are led? Touch the water. Be thankful for your baptism.